This is the Carl DeMasi Sports Report.
Excited to be back here again to talk about local sports. And that's what the show's about, local sport.
And now featuring Melissa Makos, it's the Coach and Makos on ESPN Savannah Hilton Head.
Good morning, Savannah and the Low Country, and welcome to the Coach and Makos on the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates. Remember, living is moving, and I'm telling you right now, living is moving. And it's all right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, now over in Hilton Head at 92.7. We're also on the streaming live on the internet at ESPNCoastal.com, and we're also on your smartphone. Phones are smarter than us. At yeah. ESPN, go to the little headphone, click on it, go right away to Savannah Hilton Head, and you can hear Coach Makos. Good morning, Miss Makos. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's already a scorcher out there.
It's hot. It's hot in here, but you know what? I'm here talking to you, and that's all that matters. I mean, just been a tough week for the good old ball coach, but
yeah,
I teach driver's ed. I'm telling you right now, people, airbags and safety belts save lives, because I got into a wreck, totaled my car, and I'm hurting here, but I'm moving. But I'm telling you right now, airbags and safety belts. I tell my driver's education classes during the summer, and of course I was coming from a driver's education class, that you got a 90% chance of living if you have those two things working together. And I'm telling you right now, if I didn't have them on, I wouldn't be sitting right here now talking to you Miss Melissa Makos.
Yeah, and you know, and I saw the pictures, Carl, and were thankful because we know it could have ended a lot worse. And, you know, it was raining. It was poor driving on the other driver's part. Let's make it clear. It was not your fault.
Nope.
But I think also, you know, when I was growing up, my parents had always said to me, you know, we're not afraid of you driving. We're afraid of the other drivers. And so I think obviously, you know, if you have your wherewithal, you're not on your smartphone, you're not, you know, putting mascara on in the car or anything like that. You've got that wherewithal, you know, of what's going on around you. And if you didn't anticipate what was happening, you know, it could have been a lot worse. And, you know, that comes from being, you know, an experienced driver, and that comes from not being on your cellular device, and it comes from paying attention.
I've got myself into the habit of putting on my Bluetooth now, because come July 1st, it's hand-free.
Yes.
So I had my Bluetooth on, so I wouldn't have to answer the phone. If someone called, the phone, you know, the car would answer it for me, and it just, I saw it coming, and I tried to swerve to the right, but there was no avoiding it. So, but anyway, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm living and I'm moving, like Chatham Orthopedic Associates say. So I'm glad to be here, and we're glad you're listening to us. We got a packed show. You know, we're going to open it up, of course, right after the first quarter of our first game, which goes from 9 to 10. We'll open up with Fitness First with a young man that used to live in Savannah. Now he's up at Mount Zion High School. He's here for the camp at Savannah Country Day with Nick Chubb and Sonny Michelle.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I know they're going to be at the Oglethorpe Mall this afternoon signing autographs, book signings, and then they're going to be at Savannah Country Day for a camp tonight. Coach Coyle does a great job over there with the Hornets. You know, I wish I was moving a little better. I'd go out there just to check it out. Sonny Michelle and Nick Chubb, you got to be kidding me.
You know what's really cool, Carl, is, you know, we always talk about Savannah kind of being the redheaded stepchild, so to speak, when it comes to athletics. And here you've got a top prospect in the state of Georgia coming to Savannah for camps.
Which
and
comes through your Boston College connection there, Kenyatta Watson.
Yeah, and that's, I think it's important, too, to, you know, kind of point out that, you know, as a sports show that focuses on local athletes. I mean, I think it's huge that we're now getting recognized in the Atlanta area,
Jonesboro,
and we want kids want to come on our show, and I think that's great. I mean,
it definitely speaks
volumes to what you've done here. You know, the last 100 years,
7 years
on this radio show, and I think it's important too to, you know, recognize some of these kids that we do have these kids from Savannah that still want to come back and, you know, strut their stuff. And I'm impressed with this kid already.
Unique
and
Smith.
His name is Unique, and he's quite unique. And you know my favorite part. You know, I asked him where he wanted to go to school, and we'll get that when we Boston College. No, he doesn't want to go to. I tried to get him to go to Boston College, but he's an honor student.
Nice.
And you know, that's my favorite part is when they are.
So he's
going to
be an engineer from the Ramblin' Wreck at Georgia Tech.
Stay tuned.
We'll find out
where he wants to go.
So he'll be on the second quarter. Now, if you followed the news a couple of weeks ago, about a month and a half ago, 2 months, we had a little discrepancy that went on at a local youth basketball game.
Yeah.
So in our third quarter, we're going to bring on the man himself from the Savannah Basketball Officials Association, Dewey DeLetri. He's the president. He's been refereeing for a long time. And we're going to talk about referees and what's going on in the world of sports and how, I mean, you see it on TV. People think it's their right to question the referee, and it got out of hand. They attacked the official. They punched him, so he wants to come in and address it, especially from the Savannah basketball officials. We'll have Dewey DeLetri.
Yeah, I'm excited.
College official, too.
And I'm excited to talk to him because I think with replay and with technology and everything, it really demeans the value of an umpire, a referee, and an official, and I think it's important to
They're also abusing the coaches, Melissa, because I've lived it this year. It's the first time in 35 years of coaching that I heard parents in the stands. It was ridiculous.
I know. It makes you not want to do it, and that's unfortunate because the ones that really suffer are the kids.
Right. Okay, and then we'll turn two. We'll end hour number one with turn two. Go to game number. Turn two is where we take two trending topics, one national, one local, and break it down in the world of sports. They're trending. Then hour number two, we'll start with the introduction, scores, and all that stuff. Then we'll go to our second quarter in the second hour from 10 to 11, Wetherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete Week. This man has two gold medals from the state track meet, AA. He's also a highly recruited football player. He accepted or signed a scholarship to go play at Shorter College. He's coming in here, two sport athlete. From what I understand, he's a great kid, honor student from Benedictine Military School. Alum now, because he did graduate and we didn't get him on in time. The Savannah Morning News track player of the year, male track athlete of the year, Dennis Bailey. I wait and talk to him. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, that. I mean, two gold medals.
Two.
I don't even
know. He won the 200 and he won the relay with his teammates.
And now he's going to play football in college.
Well, he's going to do football and track as far as I know. So
see, I love it. I love the dual athletes because that's such a rarity nowadays. Everyone's so focused on being a one sport athlete.
Everybody wants to specialize.
I love it. Love it. Love it.
All right. And then we're going to talk about the update. We're going to give you the update over at the old Memorial Stadium football grounds. I don't know if they're going to call it Memorial Stadium, but we'll have the Chatham County Parks and Recreation Director, Steve Proper, to come in while on the phone. Of course, all our guests join us on the Savannah Smiles mobile hotline. He's going to give us an update of what's going on there, if it's going to be ready for the football season. It looks great. I passed a number of times. Mm-hmm. So we got a new stadium out there on Skidaway in Paulson. It looks great. So and then we'll close it. We'll go three out the door. We'll talk about topics and give you our opinion. All right, let's go to the scores right away. You can start with the Braves.
The Braves. Well, they're in first place by 1.5 games over the Nationals. They did lose to San Diego 9-2. Freddie Freeman's 15th homer gave Atlanta 3-2 lead in the fifth. But Hunter Renfroe hit that go-ahead two-run single in San Diego's seventh inning. You got to close that door,
man. I was watching it.
You know, Freddie Galvis had a three-run home run, went 5-for-5. That's batting 1,000, and the Padres beat the Braves 9-3.
9-2. It was 9-3, my fault.
9-3 Friday night. But up next, they're going to be at the STP. SunTrust Park. So Sean Newcomb, he is on the hill, and he's got a 2.49 ERA. And they are going to play the Dodgers on Sunday.
Padres.
And they'll face Jordan Lyles, who's surrendered a season high 11 hits in both of his last two starts.
So it looks pretty good. And then we got to talk about the Bananas. They're 9-2. They're in first place by 6 games already. But they slipped last night. But 38th straight sellout, 4,200 fans. But the Bananas lost 6-5 last night. The Florence Red Rules scored four of their runs after reaching base by either walks or hit by pitches. They took a 4-1 lead. The Bananas came back but lost 6-5 before a sellout crowd at historic Grayson Stadium. They'll be in Macon tonight, taking on the Macon Bacon. And this is the great food fight. So far, the Bananas are 3-1 against the Macon Bacons, and they've outscored them 33-14. So
good.
They return home to historic Grayson Stadium Tuesday to take on the Lexington Blowfish.
Yes.
Pro golfers, U.S. Open.
Oh, hello. This is quite the U.S. Open going to go down in history. Brian Harman was off 2 weeks ago. He's 14th at 4 over, moved up 21 spots after round two. He is ranked 20th in the world, 24th in the FedEx Cup. You got Gene Sowers last week at the Principal Charity Classic, tied for 14th, 7 under, in a rain short in only 2 rounds, and ranked 7th in the Charles Schwab Cup. 6 out of 10 top finishes.
And we'll talk about the U.S. Open in turn two. Remember, 2 weeks, don't forget, two local golfers with Gene Sowers will play in the USGA Senior Open. We got Jack Hall and Doug Hansel. Can't wait for that. Local colleges, we got a lot of camps going on today, but Savannah State has held its first elite camp last night. They had over 150 campers. It's going on right now at Savannah State Elite Camp number 2. They got another 150 campers coming in. Pretty good that your program's getting recognized now.
You know, and I love it. And yesterday at CrossFit, there were two of the Savannah State football players that came to check out Nate Scola, Coach Scola, and what he does at CrossFit. And so those guys were, I think they were pretty impressed with what went on. But we were trying to get them to join in our workout, but they're like, no, man, Nate put us through a workout in the morning. So they're working hard.
Well, Nate has taken over, from what I understand, taken over the weight training program.
Whew.
You could see a big difference.
Yes. Go ahead. Scad places 29th in the Learfield Field Director's Cup standings. The athletic department scored 420 points to finish 29th out of 196 schools.
In NAIA division.
That's just impressive. Mm-hmm. They had six teams contribute to the point total, including national titles in swimming, women's swimming, and women's golf. They got it going on over there.
Okay.
The bees are buzzing.
We're going to get this in quick because I left this out last week, but we have former athletes and athletes getting recognized in sailing. Yes, people, sailing is big here in Savannah, Georgia. Former Richmond Hill High School. Now she's just graduated from the Coast Guard Academy. Pretty special because you got to get a scholarship to go there.
Yeah.
Sailor Dana Rohde dominates in earning a national sailing honor at college. After her senior year, she won an almost unheard of eight women's events and placed second in the A division of the 2018 Sperry College Women's National Sailing Championships. She's a four-time All-American, was unanimously named the Quantum Woman Sailor of the Year. The award goes to the highest. The award, the highest in women's collegiate sailing, is given annually to an individual who has performed at the highest level of competition in district and national championships. Rohde was the only finalist.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
She's gonna go. She's gonna be an ensign. She's gonna be located in Newport, Rhode Island. She's gonna get all the sailing she wants, and she's gonna be. She will be a deck watch officer on the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Juniper.
That's awesome. And
so.
Yeah, we got some local Demir scholarship winners as well. We got Sarah Cunningham from Richmond Hill High School, Cohen Hughes, Ellie Jacobson, Savannah Country Day School, Cecilia Belzer, St. Vincent's, Kate Lamas, and former Savannah Country Day School sailor now, University of Georgia sailor Rachel Usher.
This award's been going on since 2005, and I got to go out on a boat one time when I know we're over here, but the Leukemia Cup, they have a sailing event. I got to go out on a boat and watch these kids sail.
It's crazy.
And
right?
I don't know which Rohde I watched, Dana's older sister. I mean, it's unbelievable. I got to sit out and watch how they got to deal with the wind. And what this scholarship does, it helps them go to a prestigious offshore sailing school in Charleston to hone their skills even more, okay? So it's been going on since 2005. Mr. Robert H. Demir was a Savannah businessman. He was a very, very good yachtsman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just a great award. Every summer they do that, and I know I left it out.
Yeah, so. That's awesome.
All right, community news. JCB Mud Run's going on right now.
That's right.
Over 1,500 people there.
Yeah, it keeps growing every year. And the proceeds will benefit the Lady Bamford Center for Early Childhood Development, which I love. Anytime you can do an event in Savannah that benefits local organizations, I love it.
Yeah.
And then softball. You wanna
next
play,
week.
You want to play softball? We've got an Under Armour Softball Factory Classic 21st through the 24th, and it's going to be all over the Savannah area, utilizing local fields, and it's held June 21st through 24th. And then, of course, we've got Spike Ball
coming to Tybee on June 24th, okay? And it's all brought to you by our friends at Southern Eagle Georgia, the beach. You get to the beach fun times, great beverages, and it's free. So we'll get to the specifics when we have time to do that. We got to go to break here because next up is Fitness with Makos with Unique Smith.
Yes.
And we'll find out what he's doing to make himself better to get to the next level. And thank you to Kenyatta Watson, former BC Eagle and now a good friend of the show because of you two guys. So he'll be up next. Unique Smith, you're listening to the Coach of Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah. Hilton Head, it's all brought to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates. Living is moving. We'll be right back after the break.
Now here's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Melissa Makos on ESPN Radio.
That's right. Today's show is right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, and you're listening to the Coach of Makos, presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics. Living is moving. Well, it's pretty exciting when we do this segment, Fitness with Makos, and it's all about being fit. You know, we could talk about just playing football, basketball, baseball, but there's more to it, living life. You want to get into a fitness program. What's pretty special about this is a couple of weeks ago, we had Melissa and Markel Blunt, the other half of Mel and Kel. We had one of their friends on, Kenyatta Watson, who is a sort of like a recruiter, helps people with works for Under Armour. He's a national recruiter. Okay, he sees kids. And, coming from this area, it's unbelievable because this young man used to live in Savannah. He went to East Broad Elementary. He went to Heard, right?
Hubert.
Hubert, and now he's up in Jonesboro at Mount Zion High School. He's from Savannah, Georgia. He lives up there now. He's 6'4", 225 pounds, enjoys playing football and basketball at Mount Zion High School. He plays defensive line, tight end, and something special going on here. He's down here for a camp. He's going to go over to Country Day tonight to see Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle, doing a camp at Country Day, so we're excited to have him on. So you're listening now to Makos, Fitness with Makos, with Unique Smith from Mount Zion High School in Jonesboro, Georgia.
Unique, thanks for coming on the show. Welcome back to Savannah, Georgia. Tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in football, and what do people want to know about you?
When I started football, like a lot of my counselors at my after school was telling me that I had broad shoulders and I had the size to play it. So I told my mom one summer before my middle school years, I said I want to play football. And she said, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. But I was going to be behind because I know boys started when they were six. But when I got on that field, it felt like I was natural at it.
When you first started playing football, was it love at first first hike or love at first sack?
No, it was not. At first, I used to kind of did not like it. Just didn't really like it. I know it was going to be hard, and I was getting used to it. I didn't know all this stuff, but I was willing to learn, though.
How did you pick up the slack from, starting a little bit later than when most kids start? Like, how did you get to, pick up the game, try to catch up with your peers?
I have a great work ethic, and I'm very smart, and the coaches see that. So whatever they tell us, I can pick on it very easily.
So you're here for a camp, and it's over at Savannah Country Day with Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle, like the coach had talked about. What made you decide that you want to go to that camp? Was it the fact that you're from Savannah, or what was it about that camp that you said, I want to come back to Savannah for that? Because we know, Savannah kind of gets people don't recognize us that much for our football, even though we do have good football here. And so what made you want to come back to Savannah for a camp?
I love coming down to Savannah. I like it. It's like a second home for me. But I was like, well, it's another camp. This summer I'm going to be going to a lot of camps. So I was like, just another one of my books I can get down.
How important are these camps to your fitness regimen? I know you're traveling next week. We'll talk a little bit about that, about what camp you're going to next week. But how important are these camps for you to stay in shape in the off season and also to get recognized by college scouts?
It's very important to me this year. As coming as a junior, I know I got to start getting ready for the college recruiting. Got to get ready for that.
Talk to me about these camps. I know the camp tonight at Savannah Country Day starts at 4:30. We know the Savannah heat. It's hot here. They tried to start the camps a little bit later to help offset some of that heat. But what do you do at the camps, in order to, work on your skill set and your conditioning?
I had to make sure I be in my right position. I know when I do it, I really want to do something else, but I got to do what's most important for me and my team. So I try to do the best I can do. I'm already in shape, but I can be in better shape. But I just try to make sure I do my best and see if they want me to do.
So what do you need to do to take your game to that next level in terms of fitness and in terms of just playing?
To the next level? Well, my coaches always tell me I always show flashes on the field, and this year it's going to be more than just flashes. They're going to see it all game. Take it to the next level. I just feel like once we start taking down big-time schools and start getting more wins, I think my game will stay for it.
How have you improved over the years since you first started playing football in middle school? What has the biggest jump been for you?
Become a great pass rusher. I used to think about it a lot, and coaches were telling me, like, you gotta let the game come to you. As years got on, I got stronger, I got faster, and become better. I'm taking on blocks and against O-linemen.
Other than these camps, Unique, what else do you do to hone your skill set and to make sure that you stay in shape?
I do other training. I do basketball training. I do track training. And I also watch a lot of film. I see how I improve my game and see what I got to work on.
Oh, you break a mental sweat too. Yeah, we talked off air about your academics, and I love your hashtags on Twitter. If you want to follow Unique on Twitter, he's Unique Smith_90. You are number 90, which is near and dear to my heart because my Boothing wears number 90. But you always put in there hashtag, I think you put hashtag student, hashtag scholarships, hashtag, like all these hashtags. And I noticed the honor student one that you put. How important are academics for you?
In my house, it's very important. My mama kind of streaks that into it since day one.
And what's your favorite subject?
Math and science.
Math, so you're math and science. How has that discipline in the classroom and with your academics helped you with football and basketball and track?
I ain't going to say it really helped me, but, like, understanding the game, you got to have a great IQ, and I think that kind of plays in with that.
Who's your favorite team, NFL and college?
NFL, Seattle Seahawks, and college football, Alabama.
All right, let's make that transition. So next week you are going to Nick Saban's camp in Alabama, Roll Tide, and you had said that that's your number one college of choice. What is it about Alabama that makes you, other than the fact that they're like national champions every year, what makes you want to go to Alabama?
I like the defense. I had went to that camp a year before, and I seen how they do things, and I think I really like it. I think I'd be a great fit for them.
So you play defensive end? You also play on the flip side of the ball, too. You play tight end as well. Mm. What do you prefer, offense or defense?
Right now, defense.
Defense, yeah. I worked with Kevin Steele when he was the linebackers coach at Florida State. They've got a really good coaching staff over there at Alabama. You're going to be down at camp next week. Mm. What do you have to do to impress those coaches?
You got to do be the best. Be the best O-lineman. Go work hard and be different. Do things explosive. Don't be nervous, because I know I get nervous a lot. I got to be the best old lineman, show that I can work hard and stuff like that.
Obviously, unique. You've got tremendous support from you've got your grandmother and your family. How has that helped you be the athlete that you are, the athlete and the student that you are today?
It made me a great athlete. I know certain family members are not around right now, and I know it's like I gotta still go hard even though they're not here. And I still get a lot of support from my mom because, me and her are very close. And, she kind of pushing me to be the best. And also my coach is pushing me to be the best.
Did you ever imagine when you were over at Huber and at East Broad that this is where your football would take you?
No. When I was at Huber, I really wanted to stay with basketball, but I did football. I just adored it. At first, I thought, basketball was going to be it, but I didn't know football was going to be this far.
Yeah, we had talked about your brother is here visiting as well, and he plays basketball. But I saw you in basketball uniform. How has playing other sports such as track and basketball helped with your football?
Because with basketball, a lot of coaches say he's a basketball player. So, he's quick on his feet and he moves fast. So, yeah, I try to beat him with power. But I'm also strong, too, so I don't think that's going to really affect me. Because I'm always a slender side. I was a D lineman, so they think I'm kind of weak, but I'm not really weak.
Yeah, you definitely are not weak. You got to check out his Huddle account and see this kid move for sure. What are your goals next year, high school-wise, in terms of team goals, individual goals, and, personal goals in the classroom as well?
Team goals, we want to go to the playoffs. This is our year. I feel like it's our year. Individual, I want to go to All-State defense end, or All-State outside linebacker. In the classroom this year, try to make state all A's, make it honor roll, high honor roll.
How have your teachers and your academics, how has that helped you knowing that you still have to have that balance between school and sports?
Some of my teachers are not easy to work with, but I know that I got to get it done. They know I'm a great player and they know I'm a great student at first, but I got to make sure I do well in their classroom if they don't like me or not.
You said you're a Seattle Seahawks fan. Do you try to emulate anybody, that maybe plays professional, plays college?
Yes, a lot of players, especially on the ends. I really like Javion Clowney.
Yeah.
I want to kind of mimic my game after him.
What is it about Jadeveon Clowney's game that you're like, yeah, that's the one?
I seen his combine, and I was like, 4.48 on a 40. That's explosive for a D lineman. So I feel like I can be just like him.
Do you have personal coaches or anybody that helps train you?
Yes, my D-line coach, Coach Jefferson. He trains me a lot because he tells me that one day I can be 6'8", and I know I can be it. And he's like, my head's going to be in the dirt. So he's teaching me drills, passing skills, run-stopping drills, and stuff like that. And also my linebacker coach.
Other than academics and athletics, what do you do for fun?
play sports. That's it.
Play sports. Can you see yourself, you know, when you're maybe my age and the coach's age, still being athletic and still, you know, hitting the grind with your athletic prowess?
Yes, because I know my dad, 53, lifting weights, killing it, so I know I can do it too.
So it runs in the family. Mm. Unique Smith, you definitely are a unique character. I love the name. I think it's awesome, and I definitely think we can see your name in headlines, you know, coming up here in the near future. We wish you the best of luck, and come on back to Savannah. Come visit us here at the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, the Coach and Mako Show. The Coach and Mako Show, and we appreciate you here inside the ESPN Coastal Studios here at the Savannah Mall. Thank you very much, young man. You are impressive, and we appreciate you being here. And, yeah, Coach, you have anything for Mr. Smith?
No, I mean you got it all, Melissa. Hard work, academics first, and then, of course, the athletics will follow. And, you know, of course, he's, you know, Alabama, but, you know, we'll deal with it. He's going to meet two great Bulldogs tonight with Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle. Just keep up the great work and work hard. And in 2 years, come on back down with Grandma, and let's get back and talk about where you're going.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You want to agree? I mean, just great kid. I mean, you know, what's special about it, like you said, he's from Mount Zion High School in Jonesboro. I mean, Grandma listens to the show. His coach listens to the show just to get him involved in here. We're touching the state of Georgia, which is pretty special. And once again, you know, you got to give it. He's only a sophomore. He's going to be a junior. He's a good-looking kid. He's built. He's strong. And I'm great. Great job having him on.
Well, and what I like about it is, you know, normally we have kids like him for our Athlete of the Week, but I like to hear these high school kids and their fitness routines, just like last week with Elena Lancer.
Right.
You know, she takes the spin class. She, you know, she is doing sailing and all that stuff. And so I like to bring, you know, I like to bring a different angle in here with a kid that's coming to camp, going to camp every weekend. And, you know, sometimes we forget, you know, especially me, you know, with the Fitness First segment, I'm like, you know, it's a lot of people that are CrossFitting, but we've got these athletes in high school and middle school that are working so hard to hone their skill set, and it takes a lot. Plus, they've got the academics. You know, I don't have to worry about school right now when I work out. So, yeah, it's real special, and I can't wait to see what this kid does. I mean, man, what's really impressive is that academics.
Well, great interview. Unique Smith. He went to East Broad and Hubert Middle School, now up at Mount Zion High School. Thanks for him coming in. He's on his way to the Country Day camp with Sony Michelle and Nick Chubb. So, once again, we appreciate him coming in. Next up, we're going to talk a little basketball officiating with a man that has done it a long time here in Savannah, Georgia. We're going to talk to the Savannah Basketball Association's president, Dewey DeLetra, talk about the world of sports and how the referees are in the middle of it. You're listening to the Coach and Mako's right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. We'll be right back after this.
Back to Coach Carl DeMasi and Mako's on ESPN Radio.
And thank you for joining us, whether it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or whatever your favorite segment is. It's the Coach of Mako's right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, and it's presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates, where living is moving. A couple of months ago, I think like 6 weeks ago, we had a little incident at the boys club where an official was attacked by a couple of spectators, and this gentleman called me up and he wants to get some voices out there heard through the Basketball Officials Association. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. A lot of people know who he is. He's the president of the Savannah Basketball Officials Association. He's been refereeing for 35 years, 18 on the collegiate level. He loves what he does, and you know, it saddens to hear that fans now, spectators now, are abusing everybody. And they just don't abuse the officials. They abuse the coaches, too, because everybody's a coach. And, you know, their kids got to get to the next level. Well, he's joining us now on the ESPN Radio Savannah Smiles Mobile Hotline, the Savannah Basketball Officials president, good friend of mine, Dewey DeLetri. Dewey, always a pleasure having you on, sir. And we're not even going to talk about missed calls or anything.
Thank you, Coach. Good to be here.
Well, let's give everybody a little background, how long you've been doing this and what it means to be a basketball official to you. And so, I mean, you know, just something special to you. I know it's near and dear to you.
Yeah, it is. I tell people all the time I don't get yelled at enough at home, so I got people yell at me.
No, not by Catherine, eh?
I just enjoy getting a little exercise, camaraderie with the coaches and the other officials, and keep in touch with the players and the game, and been good. Frustrating at times, but it's been good.
Now, you're a Savannah guy yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So you've watched basketball in this city, and we know that in the South it's football, but in Savannah it's basketball. People take this seriously, and they don't realize the shortage of officials. What's that all about? Or now we're not getting the younger officials to come in.
I don't know. It's I think some of the younger guys playing, getting through with college and high school, and it's a great part-time job for them. They pretty much $25 an hour, even for the young kids. High school is like 56, and we do three-man crews now, so it's a lot easier than back in the day, two-man crew. I remember back when we got through high school and college and playing in these leagues like it's the NBA championship. And one of my mentors, Denny Herb, he was doing ACC, SEC games, and he would talk to you. When all the time players and coaches think you miss a call, and all the player really wants or the coach really wants to just kind of say, hey, I might have missed that, or hey, you play with your hands, or just to talk to you a little bit and just ease the tension. So that's that kind of showed me that these guys that are doing these summer leagues wasn't getting down the court and making the calls. So I said, I could do that. So I kind of got involved with intramurals and started refereeing on my own.
Well, you do a good job, and being a basketball coach for 35 years, so we're on the same length here. I love when there's an official that will talk to you, not try to talk down to you or think because they have the stripes on that they got one hand on you. I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years. I know all the rules too. I make mistakes just like, officials make mistakes. But, when you have that official that's personable, that communicates, it makes it a lot easier when you're coaching a game or refereeing a game, which, a lot of you guys do. But sometimes you get into the official that doesn't want to hear it. I don't know how you guys, answer that question when you have your meetings and all that stuff.
Yeah, we do. We talk about that a lot, about being approachable and listening, just trying to just give the coaches an ear. We don't want to listen about every play, but if there's a certain situation, the coach knows the rules, you need to take time to listen to him. That's really all he wants. Like I say, just get on down the court and move past it. But I think some of the officials that can't do that and not another word, it's just not good for the game. So we try to coach them and try to teach them that, you got to be approachable. You got to listen to the coach. You don't have to listen to every word. We're not going to talk about every call, but you do need to at least be approachable. And that's what be professional, be approachable. That's what we tell them.
You're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio. We're talking about basketball officials or officials in general, how they have to deal with the public, the players, parents, spectators. We're talking to the Savannah Basketball Officials President, Dewey Deletra, and it's all on the Savannah Smiles mobile hotline.
And Dewey, how has technology changed the way officials officiate?
I think right now, in the college level, they do a little bit different with a timing aspect and some replay. We can't really do that in high school. So it's a little bit different, but there's a lot more films. I tell you what, we tell all the officials too, is you got to be careful what you say, because everybody's got a camera, everybody's got a phone, everybody's videoing, and they're not going to get those good calls that you made. They're going to get the one that's questionable or the one that you missed. So you got to be careful about what you say to fans, what you say to coaches. And that changed a lot. But I tell you what, I don't see robots or any kind of technology, drones, basketball anytime soon. So I think we still got the human aspect, and I tell everybody that it doesn't matter who you are, when you fuck that ball up, you're gonna miss something. So you just got to get through it, keep the game going, and understand that players miss shots, coaches make a few bad decisions, and referees don't miss a few calls.
Yeah, and that lends itself to a lack of respect, and obviously the lack of security that we saw in that video for referees. And I know there are some referees and umpires and officials that receive death threats and all sorts of stuff. So how do you handle the lack of respect and the security as the president of the Savannah Basketball Officials Association? Because it could happen at any level, obviously.
Sure, it does, and I've never seen I had one or two instances where a hard foul and a player goes down with it, or injured, and a mom or something will come out on the stands. You bring the coach on the stand out of the box to come and attend to the player. We back away, but never, there's never an excuse for a fan to come on the court. I tell people all the time. I said it's easy to call from the stand. Everybody gets them right when you watch you know, watch them from the stands. But it's a tough job out there, and you just got to let the officials call their game and just, you know, we try to stress sportsmanship, and everybody needs to read that definition because it's a game end of the day. It's a game, and it's important to everybody, but you got to let the officials do their job, the coaches do their job, and the players do their job, and the fans just got to sit there and get entertained, but watch.
Well, you know, I got to go one step further, Dewey, and I'm going to make you feel a little more comfortable on this. Everybody's a coach, too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not just you guys getting the abuse. And like I said, I've been doing this for a long time. I've never heard fans in the stands until this year when I was coaching basketball. And you know where I coach. Everybody knows where I work.
Yeah.
I've never been abused or even in front of my own family. Even in front of my own family. And it's disturbing that, you know, that parents think they can get away with this. Yeah, your son wants to get to the next level. You want your kid to get to the next level. You know, all the money involved, scholarships and all that. But you have no right abusing the officials or the coaches. And that's what bothers me the most. So, you know, I live it too, so don't think it's just the basketball officials. Now, I know you wanted to stress this. You need some young blood. You need some young legs out there. How can someone become a basketball official here right in Savannah, Georgia?
You can give them my contact information. We also have Secretary George Donker, who puts out some news and advertisements in the sports page. We typically start meeting at mid to end of August, and we start meeting twice a month, and the scrimmages all start end of like 1st of November, and then right around Thanksgiving the teams start playing. So we're always interested in new guys coming, new girls coming in to officiate. We definitely need some new blood. I tell them all too. I said, listen, at every meeting, in the first of the meeting, we're getting older and the kids are getting younger. I said, they still moving up and down this floor. We lucky we have 3-person crew, but we need some young officials. We can't keep doing this forever. So please get in touch with you or me, and also, like I say, be on the lookout for advertisements in the paper for officiating meetings, and we'd love to have you.
Yeah, and you know, do
I
we?
Mean, everybody's going to make mistakes, and it's a little time process. We have some that come in that want to referee high school off the bat, and it's a process. So they got to understand that, be a little patient. But I think with the young guys now, the young kids, young adults, young girls, and it's just they want it now. They want it now. They want to be paid now. They want a referee at a top level now. I think that's a little frustrating to them that. Go a couple of years of doing the rec ball and 12 and under. Some know that's where they start off, but a lot of them want to go ahead and call JV and varsity. And if they're ready, we tell them all the time, listen, if you're ready, if you have potential and you can call this level, we're going to put you out there. Doesn't matter what your age is or how long you've been doing it. We need, you know, the best officials on the floor.
Talk about, you know, the female aspect. I love watching, you know, some of these females ref, you know, NBA basketball games, but sometimes it's hard for females to get their foot in the door.
Yes, it is. We welcome. I mean, we have a few. We got like a handful that want to do it. It's tough because we got like 85 officials and maybe 5 young ladies. So it's tough. You know, they have. I would encourage them to bring a friend. You know, we could put the two together, or you know, put them with a veteran and then put them together. So they'll kind of learn and be able to do the games and have fun, go to dinner, whatever after the game. That's what we try. I mean, but there's a lot of female athletes to play and know the game, and we welcome to come out and officiate.
Yeah, the female athletes, basketball players down here. Makos won't say it. She was pretty good herself, but they do play a good game down here. State champion Johnson High School this year. Dewey, always a pleasure. As soon as you get the official the announcement on when you're going to meet and get all the stuff out, send it to me. I'll post it on our Facebook page, The Coach and Makos. Melissa will put it on ESPN Makos. I'll get it on the Prep Sports Report, and we got to get some good blood out there. But I know you're a good friend of mine. I'll tell you this: you guys do a good job, and it just so happens it's sad to say that people don't respect anybody anymore, whether it's the coach or the referee.
Well, I do appreciate it. I think the Savannah's got some of the best basketball talent all over the state. Been all over the state, night in and night out. We have good games, whether that's a girls' game or a guys' game. And I appreciate you. You're tough. You know the rules, but you're fair. And always a pleasure reffing your game, Coach.
All right, keep in touch, Dewey. We'll get it up there.
Okay. Thank you, man. Come on, referee with us.
Well, as soon as I get that other bum knee fixed, I might be joining you with your bad hips.
Okay, bring Melissa with you.
We will do that. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's Dewey DeLetra, president of the Savannah Basketball Association. Great guy, personable. He's what every coach looks for, a ref that will talk to you. And that's what we need more of.
You know, I remember when I was playing basketball in high school, we had a referee. We called him Robo-Ref because he was very, very stiff, but he was very fair. And
right.
We knew it. So we had always hoped that we had Robo-Ref as our referee for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you get to learn the quirks of some of these referees. And, you know, especially like as a pitcher, like I knew which umpires were going to call low balls and which umpires were going to call high balls and whatnot. So, you know, someone used to tell me, someone used to always ask me the question, you know, what is the strike zone, Melissa? Where's the strike zone? And, you know, people would say, oh, it's this corner to this. And it's whatever the ref or whatever the umpire calls. And so,
you got to learn it and you got to adapt to it.
And you have to adapt to it. And you can't freak out like some of these people freak out over a missed call because people are human. And if you want robots to, ref, umpire and officiate these games, then we're not going to have, you know, that human aspect anymore. And, I love instant replay, but sometimes it's a little too much.
Yeah, check out the Atlanta Braves game last night. Next up, we're going to try and turn two topics here in the world of sports. Dewey DeLetra, great job. Thanks for coming on. And we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head.
Now here's more of the Coach and Makos on ESPN Radio.
And it's the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton, and Miss Makos. So we're only going to have about less than a minute here to get out, to come into the second game, the second hour from 10 to 11. So stay tuned. I know we wanted to turn two. We're going to talk about the U.S. Open. We're going to talk about local kids being, committing to North Carolina State. We'll have to catch up that on the second game. It just goes so quick.
It does. But I love talking to our guests, you know, Dewey and Unique Smith. And, you know, sometimes it's better to hear them talk than us talk, I guess.
Well, someday we gotta put a segment so we can talk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm down.
Because, you know, maybe I just overbooked getting these guests to come in so much. It's always been a habit of getting two guests every hour. But I think we might have a little time that we need to talk sports.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's the summertime. Let's try it.
Okay. I'm down.
Next, we're not turning two. We're going to game number two. Okay, so stay tuned for the game. Let me start again. Okay, 8 seconds. We'll be back with hour number two at 10:03. You're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Carl DeMasi Sports Report.
Excited to be back here again to talk about local sports. And that's what the show's about, local sport.
And now featuring Melissa Makos, it's the Coach and Makos on ESPN Savannah Hilton Head.
And good morning, Savannah and the Low Country, and welcome to game number two of the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. And it's all brought to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates, where living is moving. Beautiful day outside, hour number one in the book, or game number one in the book. Dewey DeLetri, thanks for coming on. Unique Smith from Jonesboro, Georgia, stopping in on his way to the Savannah Country Day football camp tonight with Sony Michelle and Nick Chubb, former Bulldogs. So, once again, it's been going quick, and we're already in hour number two.
Yeah, I love it. And Sony Michelle, a New England Patriot.
And Nick Chubb, a Cleveland Brown.
Sony Michelle, a New England Patriot.
And Nick Chubb, a Cleveland Brown.
Yes, I love it. I love watching these guys make it to the next level, especially when they get drafted by the Patriots.
A Jersey girl that roots for the Patriots, it really bothers the heck out of me. We have the New York Giants and the New York Jets, who play in the Meadowlands, which is in New Jersey, as she was growing up, but she winds up going to Boston College and becomes a Patriot fan.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, it's got to be a good camp. It's got to be a good camp that's going to happen there at Savannah Country Day today. We got the elite camp going on over at Savannah State. They had 150 kids last night. Savannah State coaching staff, Eric Rayburn and his crew, putting on an elite prospect camp, seeing about the kids. And then today they're doing it this morning from 9 to 11. I think they're going to have a 9 to 12. They think they're having another 150 kids. It's pretty good when Savannah State is starting to pull these kids in.
Yeah, I love it. And I love the fact that, you know, these kids are starting to, get out in the public, you know. And I think that helps with, you know, you've got some local kids like, you know, this kid, Russell DeMasi. You might know him as one of the coaches. And I think
right.
It's great to have, you know, some of the former local athletes that are working with Savannah State and working with our athletes and bringing awareness to the fact that, yeah, we do have a good college over here that can produce some football players. So let's get it.
Hey, they've won three games both seasons. Hopefully this year they're shooting for a 500 better record. It's probably going to, I think, their last year in the MEAC because they will drop down to Division II. So we'll see what happens with that. The lineup for the second game is right now we're going to be talking about local scores, local news, national news. Then we're going to get in quarter number two, the Weatherton Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week. This young man got himself two gold medals at the state track meet, the Class AA track meet with the Benedictine Military School Cadet Track Team, coached by former Benedictine Military School athlete Galen Houston. So we're going to have Dennis Bailey. He's a graduate. He graduated in May. He'll be going to Shorter College to play football and run track. So Dennis Bailey won the 200 meters, and his 4x400 team won the gold medal in that classification. So good student, great student, good leader. I'm pretty excited about meeting Dennis Bailey.
Yeah, I can't. I hope he brings his medals.
I don't know if he'll bring his medals, but he's going to bring a good story, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and what's really, really cool is I love the fact that these kids are multi-sport athletes, and he's a multi-sport athlete. And not only are they multi-sport athletes, but they're successful in more than one sport. And when I say successful, that's an understatement.
Well, yeah, I mean, and now we're into the day of specialization. That means you're only going to play one sport, you're going to play it year-round, and you're going to try and get a college scholarship or go far and deep into wherever you're going. But research has shown the kids that specialize in one sport tend to get more injuries than the kids that do two, three sports.
Right, and you burn out, too.
Yep.
You burn out quickly. You know, and what I like about Mr. Bailey is that he's going to play football in college, but here he is the track athlete of the year.
He's also going to run track up there, from
yeah.
what he told me. So.
And I think that's great. I think that's awesome, because I think having the other sports really helps you hone your skills, and it works different muscle groups, so you don't stay stagnant.
Okay, and then in the third quarter, we're going to talk about Memorial Stadium. The Chatham County Parks and Recreation Director, Steve Propp, is going to join us on the Savannah Smiles mobile hotline. Tell us the update on it. The stadium, is it going to be ready for the football season? So that should be pretty exciting. And hopefully we'll close it out in the last hour. Instead of three out the door, maybe we'll talk about some sports.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's go to the scoreboard. Local scores, local news, and we got to start with the Atlanta Braves. We are your source for Atlanta Braves baseball, Atlanta Hawks basketball, Atlanta Falcons football, and, of course, Georgia, the University of Georgia sports. So, once again, let's start it off. Pro baseball there.
Yeah, the Braves are looking good. There's no letdown yet.
40 wins already.
Right. So, you know, we'd always talked about at the beginning of the year, is this you know, an anomaly? But, no, they're
holding their own.
Yeah, they are holding their own. They're first place in the National League East, up 1.5 games over the Washington Nationals. They did lose to San
Diego. 9-3.
They did lose to San Diego 9-3, even though Freddie Freeman hit his 15th home run. Just, you know.
Gave the Braves the lead.
Yeah, gave the Braves the lead, but, you know, that's
the
seventh inning, man. And you got to close it out. You got to have those middle relievers that come in and shut the door, but that didn't happen. But up next, they're going to play tonight, 5:10 first pitch at SunTrust Park.
Oh, come on. I was waiting for STP.
Oh, the STP at SunTrust Park. Sean Newcomb will be on the hill versus Jordan Lyles. So they'll play first pitch 5:10 p.m.
And something that goes on here every summer now, the Savannah Bananas in their third season, off to a 9-2 start, first place by six games already. 38th straight sellout, Melissa. 4,200 fans in the crowd, but the Bananas slipped 6-5 last night to the Florence Red Wolves. The Red Wolves scored four of their runs after reaching base by either walks or by hit by a pitcher. The Wolves took a 4-1 lead. The Bananas nipped it, but couldn't come up. They lost 6-5. Before the sellout crowd at Grayson Stadium, the Coastal Plain League game had a little bit of everything, and I want to talk about this quickly with you. It included a benches clearing moment, as far as Donald Heat said in the Savannah Morning News recap of the game in the sixth inning after a collision at the plate between Bananas runner Garrett Delano and Florence catcher Brady Gibson. So they ran to it, but there was no fist, no punches thrown.
That's good. It's good to hold back a little bit. But those collisions at the plate can be serious, you know. You got to be really, really careful. And, you know, the Savannah Bananas, I like what they're doing in the community. On Tuesday, it's Bark in the Park, or in Melissa Makos' terms, it's Swine in the Stadium. Pee-wee Pig will make an appearance, because Pee-wee thinks he's a dog, even though he's a pig. But, yeah, so they got some fun events going on, but I don't think a benches clearing moment is part of that. But, hey, why not?
Up next, they're in Macon tonight to take on the Macon Bacon in the great food fight. Right now, the Bananas lead 3-1, in the food fight. They have outscored the Bacon 33-14. I think the first game was 10-6, the Bacon, and then it's been all bananas after that. They return, like Melissa said, Tuesday night to historic Grayson Stadium for the Bark in the Park, and they take on the Lexington Blowfish.
Yeah, and we got the U.S. Open going on. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But Brian Harman, he was off 2 weeks ago. He's at the U.S. Open. He's 14th, four over. Not a lot of under pars at the U.S. Open this year. He moved up 21 spots after round two. You also have PGA champions Gene Sowers last week at the Principal Charity Classic, tied for 14th, seven under. It was range shortened. He's ranked seventh in the Charles Schwab Cup. He's got 6 out of 10 top finishes. And then in two weeks, we've got the local golfers.
Guys that you covered.
Yeah, Jack Hall and Doug Hansel are playing for the USGA Senior Open along with Gene Sowers. So,
who won it in 2016.
Yes, and that's going to be June 28th through July 1st at Broadmoor East Course in Colorado Springs.
And we got a lot of things going on here in Savannah, Georgia. Local colleges, Savannah State is holding their Elite Prospect Camp. They had session one last night from 6 to 9. Session two right now is going from 9 to 12. A lot of kids, over 150 each session. Great job by the coaching staff. It also gets them to see future maybe Tiger players on the turf at T8 Wright Stadium. SCAD, you love talking about SCAD.
I do. They placed 29th in the Learfield Director's Cup standings. They scored a total of 420 points to finish 29th out of 196 schools. That's pretty cool. The Bees had six teams contribute to the point total, including two NAIA national championships in women's swimming and women's golf. Go SCAD. They are a buzzin'.
And the Learfield Director's Cup is in each division, Division 1, 2, 3, NAIA. So SCAD in NAIA finishes 29th as the 29th best program in NAIA. Local athletes, I wanted to do this last week. I forgot all about it. But former Richmond Hill High School and now just graduated, a graduate of the Coast Guard Academy, sailor Dana Rohde dominates National Sailing Island. She dominated in earning a National Sailing Honor at college after a senior year, which she won almost every event. I think she placed second in one event. Okay. She was unanimously, I got it right, named the Quantum Woman Sailor of the Year. What's amazing about this, the award, the highest women's collegiate sailing award you could win, is given annually to an individual who has performed at the highest level of competition in district and national championships. By the way, Rohde was the only finalist. There wasn't anybody even close. That's and now awesome. She continues her career. She joined the Coast Guard Academy. She studied operations research and computer analysis at the Coast Guard Academy, has been commissioned as an ensign, and will report later this month to her first duty station in Newport, Rhode Island, where she will be on deck. She will be a deck watch officer aboard the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Juniper.
That's awesome. And she's going to be in Newport, Rhode Island, New England.
She'll get a lot of sailing in.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got some Demir Scholarship Award winners. This is pretty cool. Six area high school students. They were accomplished sailors, and they've been awarded summer sailing scholarships. The scholarship has been named for the late Robert H. Demir, who was a Savannah businessman, a philanthropist, and an avid yachtsman. So what's really cool is we've got the local athletes from Richmond Hill, Sarah Cunningham, Cohen Hughes, Ellie Jacobson. Over at Country Day with Cecilia Belzer. St. Vincent's had Kate Lamas, and former Savannah Country Day school sailor, now at UGA, sailor Rachel Usher.
Pretty special. They're going to get a scholarship to go take a very intense all-expense-paid course, what's called the Offshore Sailing School in Charleston, South Carolina, to hone their skills. Community events going on. Right now we have the 7th annual JCB Mud Run. All proceeds go to the Lady Bamford Center for Early Childhood Development. So these are kids that, you know, need assistance, and it's such a great charity. So you got to give JCB kudos for doing this. Over 1,500 people involved.
Yeah, get dirty for a good cause.
And like I said, I told Melissa this during a break. 7 years ago, that was my first remote. Pamela Viak used to be the coordinator. She let me come out there. I'm telling you, it was so much fun. I put on a white shirt. It came back brown.
Yeah, because you're in the mud. So it's a good time.
And I know this is near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, softball, June 21st through June 24th. You've got a softball showcase going on, the Under Armour Softball Factory Summer Classic. It's going to be played at fields all over the Coastal Empire, Allen E. Paulson Stadium, Armstrong Atlantic. And it just gives softball players that final look if you haven't signed for a scholarship or if you haven't signed for college. And it's a final showcase that will give some of these kids recognition that may not have gotten it during the regular season.
They've had over 75 teams each year, so it's a chance for these girls to get seen. And then ESPN Savannah, ESPN Coastal will be involved on Tybee on June 24th, which is –
Yeah, for the spike ball tournament, the Landshark Lager Spike Ball Tournament, brought to you by our friends at Southern Eagle. It's at the beach. It's fun. Great beverages, obviously. And if you've never played spike ball, they actually have tournaments on ESPN now that you could watch. It's almost like cornhole. They've got cornhole tournaments, but spike ball is a lot of fun. We play it at CrossFit. It's very difficult.
And it's free. And the last day to register is June 21st. So get out there. There's a whole bunch of things going on. You want to be the king of the beach, the queen of the beach, the jack of the beach. There's so many different things going on. So just check it out and go to Landshark Lager and find out about their spike ball tournaments. Once again, June 24th, and it's all part of ESPN Coastal. So we got everything in there. We got all the news in there. So hopefully our Athlete of the Week will be here. You're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. We'll be right back after this.
The Coach and Makos, only here on ESPN Radio.
As the man just said, it's the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, Hilton Head, AM 1400, FM 104.3, and 92.7 over there on Hilton Head Island. We're streaming live on ESPNCoastal.com. And if you're not in your car, you're not at home, just download it on your smartphone, ESPN mobile app. Go to the headphones, go to the channel, Savannah Hilton Head, and you can hear the Coach of Makos. Makos, we're ready to go, and we're doing a little game change here.
You called an audible.
We had to call an audible, Tom Brady style. And our next guest was supposed to be our Worthington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week, but he's running a little late. So, of course, accommodating us is our guest that was supposed to happen at 10:30. And this is something near and dear to me because we're getting a new stadium. We're getting a new stadium where the old Memorial Stadium used to be. It looks good. The stands are up. The press box being done. And from what I just found out, the turf is being laid down. Joining us now on the ESPN Radio, Savannah Smiles Mobile Hotline, is the Chatham County Parks and Recreation Director, Steve Proper. Steve, thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome, Carl.
I mean, it's something exciting. I mean, we had a dinosaur out there for such a long time. And now we got a beautiful 5,000-seating stadium, and it looks great. So what's the progress on the stadium right now, Steve?
Well, we're a little bit behind, probably about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. But the first game, we had it, it was supposed to be done by July the 31st. And so we're probably going to be ready for the first game, which the first game is August the 24th. That we have on our schedule. So we've been working with Kenneth Trainer from the school system and making sure that that'll happen.
Now, you've been watching the progress that we talked when it came out in the newspaper last summer saying we're going to get a new stadium. Did you foresee this happening this quickly? I thought we would go halfway through into the season before it was ready, but I guess Mother Nature has helped us, eh?
Well, Mother Nature, we have a good architect. And also, we have a great construction company, Lavender, that's out of Statesboro. They've all been good. We have a good team working on it, and yeah, it's been great.
Steve, how important is it to have had this upgrade with the stadium?
Oh, I think it was imperative. That other stadium was falling down, it was crumbling. Some of the, it was structurally fine, but the underneath the stadium, the concrete was coming up, the rebars was fine, but everything else was crumbling from the lights. You know, the lights was like 1958 technology and everything. If I know Carl probably has been up in the press box, that was atrocious. So,
yeah.
Yeah, this is gonna be so much better.
I mean, the plexiglass windows and no air conditioning, it was unique. It definitely was unique. Now, as far as the stadium itself, is it just going to be for high school football or are other organizations going to use it? What's going to be – who's going to use the stadium?
No, we are going to have high school games just like we always have. But we're also going to use it for our youth football, Chatham County youth football games on Saturday mornings. And also, we going to have soccer games and tournaments, which BC's already scheduled. And also, I've been working with Sports Council, and we have NA lacrosse national championships. We're talking to them about the 2020 season and the 2021 season. And also the council is working with us, too, to try to get a college Division One game in there by 2019.
Wow.
And on top of that, we have a spring I'm talking to a spring semi-pro league that is talking about in 2019 having like four games there.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
So. And also we're looking at things like movies in the stadium and perhaps concerts. I know Memorial Stadium had concerts back in the 70s and maybe bringing that back.
I mean, you're listening to the Coach of Makos on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. We're talking to Steve Propa, the Chatham County Parks Recreation Director, and it's really exciting that we're finally going to get something in here as far as a new stadium go. What does this mean to the city now, of the county, as you go by, having something like this? And, you know, you just said it. You're bringing all this, all these venues in here. It's pretty special, isn't it?
It's very special. I think not only for the citizens of Chatham County to have a place they can be proud of, and when we have these people come in town for to play our local schools, but also economic impact of it, of having statewide or regional or even national tournaments here. Is huge for the economy.
Steve, how what is the whole premise behind having a centralized stadium for the local high schools? I mean, where I grew up, each high school had their own stadium. What does that do for these high schools that this is kind of like their home stadium, so to speak, now that it's gotten this tremendous upgrade?
Well, yeah, I actually was a director. I'm a local that went off for a little bit in North Georgia, and I'm a local but I saw there, too, almost every high school had their own stadium. This is a top-of-the-line stadium for a high school-type stadium, and it's somewhere that they can be proud of. Where I know that Memorial Stadium, you know, I played it in the early 80s, and, you know, back then it was a nice stadium, but their glory days of the old Memorial Stadium was long past since I came back.
Right. Yeah, I covered a few games there I was at WTOC and spent a long time in the stands watching Beach High School play. And it's really just seeing it from the highway. It already is aesthetically pleasing. What went into making it, I guess, look up to date and getting it into the 21st century?
Well, you know, I've been around a lot of stadiums, and I kind of put a little bit of flair of myself and talking to our engineers. We have a great engineer staff with Chatham County, and also with the architect. Architect specializes in this type of stadium, so putting all of our heads together and seeing exactly what we need and what aesthetically what we want it to look like, and I chose the old brick and everything to the columns to make it look more historical and not just like a municipal institution. So that was about it. What we put into it.
Well, Steve, it looks great. I mean, I've driven by it a number of times. I'm going to go drive by and see the turf going down. Once again, keep up the great work, and it's going to be a great venue for the city of Savannah, the county of Chatham. Once again, pleasure having you on is a pleasure, and giving us an update, and keep up the great work, and I'll see you out there when you do the ribbon cutting.
Sounds great. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
And that's Steve Propa. I mean, you're going to have movies. You're going to have semi-pro teams out there. We're going to have NAIA lacrosse championships out there. It was needed. It was forthcoming. I mean, I'm excited about it. You got to go drive by. Take Markel over there and take a look at it.
Yeah, we'll be
impressed.
We'll be driving by. I'm hoping that the press box is is a little bit more.
Now, you're not going to go
friendly.
There, look at it, and start running the steps with the man and killing him. Because I know as soon as you see the steps, you're going to go want to run and do a little workout on it. I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's it looks great from the highway, so or the whatever you call that.
Truman Parkway,
whatever. It looks great, and I think it's well-deserved, and I think our student-athletes need it. But I'm excited about movie night. Hi.
August 24th, first high school football game will be held there. That's got to be exciting.
And that's cool, that he said it's going to be ready to go. And I think that's important as well, because when you do some of these construction projects, when they're not ready to go, it's kind of a disappointment and a letdown. But it's going to be ready to go, and let's kick off.
And we'll be ready to go with our next guest, because he showed up here after his workout, which is you're going to get into his workout. I know that. Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week from Benedictine Military School. Two gold medals in the state track championship. Football player signed a scholarship to go play at Shorter College. We'll be talking to Dennis Bailey right here on the Coach of Makos on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. And we'll be right back after this.
Back to Coach Carl DeMasi and Makos on ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio. Savannah Hilton Head. I'm Coach Carl DeMasi and, of course, my co-host, Melissa Makos. We did a little game change here because my young man right here, as you can see if you're watching Facebook Live, Dennis Bailey was out working out, and we had a switch segment. So we're doing the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week right now, and it's all right here on ESPN Radio, and it's all sponsored by Chatham Orthopedics Associates. The show is, and of course, this segment by Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic. What do you want me to tell you about this young man? He's been a top track and field athlete at Benedictine Military School. He's also one of the top football players at Benedictine School. He won the Class AA state title in the 200 meters, 21.72 seconds, and took second in the 100 meters at 10.7. And then he joined his teammates. He ran the 4x100 relay that set a school record and also won the state championship up there at the Georgia High School State Association's track and field. He's the Savannah Morning News Player of the Year for boys track and field. I mean, he signed a scholarship to play shorter. He's all-region. And his coach had a lot of nice things to say about him. His track coach, also football coach, Galen Houston, another former BC cadet, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He said that it's the kind of student athlete who makes coaching worthwhile. He was a senior leader, team leader, great ethic, solid student, and he wished he had a couple more at Dennis Bailey, but Dennis Bailey has now to go on to bigger things, and he's joining us right now in the ESPN Radio Savannah studio, Dennis Bailey. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I know it's been a while trying to get you on here. I know you won the state title 2 or 3 weeks ago, but pretty special. And, what more can you want? Your senior season going out with two gold medals.
Yes, sir.
So tell the fans, tell the people that are listening, when did you get involved in sports?
Well, first off, I want to thank God for the ability to play sports because, you know, most kids, they're not blessed like me. So, you know, my dad, he made sure that I started sports at an early age. So I started playing football around the age of four.
4 years old playing football.
Yes, sir.
All right, get that mic a little closer and speak loud like me so people can hear you. So,
all right.
In high school, what sports did you participate in besides track and field?
I played basketball my 10th grade year, and I played football 9th through 12th grade.
Football and track was the sports that you came out on top of. Which one did you like the most?
I say I like football the most.
He likes football the most.
Yes, sir.
I'm not surprised. Dennis, just talk about your tremendous track season. And, were you anticipating that you would win two gold medals? Or was track just one of those sports that you did on the side to help you get ready for football?
Oh, yeah. Every sport that we play, we go 100%. We want to go all the way. State championship, most definitely. So, we went out there. Every practice, work hard, trying to win a state championship.
Was there a certain routine that you used, beat your Makos, to make you a better athlete and a better football player and track athlete? Was there a certain routine that you do? Tell us what you do at BC as far as the routine to make you a better athlete.
Work out. Every time we have to work out hard, 100%. Every time we practice, 100%. Just get it over with, basically.
And now it technically it's off season for you, but you know, we know there's never an off season when you're a competitive athlete. Mm-hmm. You and your squad just got here from working out. Tell us what type of workout you did this morning, and what do you do to get ready for, I guess, 2 days, 3 days, whatever it is that they're doing now in the colleges to get ready for your first season as a rookie, as a freshman at Shorter College?
Today we did 5 sets of 5, heavy lifting, get our max up. And usually on different days we have different stuff like agility and conditioning and just all around working out during the whole summer, basically.
And you're listening to the Coach Makos. We're at the Weatherton Chiropractic Clinic after the week. We're talking to former Benedictine cadet. He is an alum now because he just graduated. He'll be going on to Shorter College to play football and run track, Dennis Bailey. So going into the season, the track season now we're talking about, even though we know football, your personal goal and team goal is always to win a state championship. What were your personal goals in track?
Gold medal.
Gold medal.
Yes, sir.
Were you shocked that you won it in the 200 and the 4x100 relays?
4x1, weren't really shocked. Kind of knew it was coming. 200, I mean, I knew I was going to win, but I knew it was going to be hard. And 100, you know, I was going for gold. Couldn't get gold, got silver. I mean, happy with that. But
so, Dennis, how did being at Benedictine prepare you for the successes that you've had, not just athletically, but academically as well?
They taught me a lot of discipline, taught me how to be intelligent, just a lot of discipline, most definitely. How to be a man, just life, really.
Well, you know, you had two coaches. Of course, the head coach of the football team, everyone knows Danny Britt. Mm-hmm. Danny Britt. Not a lot of people know about Galen Houston. Did it say Houston or Houston?
Houston,
okay. Houston. Who is a former BC cadet who went on and played college football. Tell us about your coaches, what they've done for you.
Coach Britt had him ninth grade, 12th grade football, you know. Big man. Most definitely everybody look at him. As the big man, he is the big man pretty much.
The big man.
Yeah.
Expects perfection, doesn't he?
Perfection, most definitely.
And what about Coach Houston? Houston. Sorry, Galen.
Yeah, Coach Houston. He's a great coach, most definitely. Always there, just a great coach.
So when you entered BC 4 years ago, Benedictine, okay, and not Boston College, okay, did you ever expect that you would be part of a state football championship, be part of a track championship? What were your expectations going into Benedictine?
I knew we were going to be a great sports class, you know, coming out of 8th grade, you know, playing with all my friends and stuff. I knew we were going to be good coming in BC, but, yeah, I kind of expected a state championship.
You know, going on to Shorter College, you know, obviously taking it to the next level, when you graduate from Shorter, what are your plans after that?
I want to have something to do with, like, the physical therapy, like a trainer. Yeah.
Sports medicine, eh?
Yes, sir.
Good. Sports medicine. By that time, my other knee will be done, so I won't. But, I mean, it's a great profession to get into. All right. Now, I ask all the guys that come in here from BC, Benedictine, what will you remember the most about attending Benedictine Military School?
State championships.
Tell us about, you know, you making friends and the academics. How hard is it over there at Benedictine?
It's not really hard if you just get your work done, do what you're supposed to do. I mean,
I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
Keep going.
Well, I was going to say it's not that hard if you just do what you're supposed to do, get your work done.
How have you balanced everything that you've done academically and athletically and your social life as well? How do you balance all of that with how busy you are trying to stay in shape and, you know, trying to get ready for that next level?
So you just really got to have like a set schedule, you know, and just go by that weekly. And I mean, if you change it up, you just got to make sure you doing it right, you know.
Well, Dennis, you have had a great high school career over at Benedictine Military School, coming away with a state football championship, now with 2 track gold medals. Great job. That's why you're this week's Weatherton Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week for June 16th. Dennis Bailey from Benedictine. We'll say football and track. They put track down, but you deserve that from Dr. Bart Weatherton.
Yes,
great job. Good. Last question. Are you going to be able to do track and football at Shorter?
Yes, sir. Track and football.
So you're looking forward to that?
Yes, sir.
All right, just hang on so we can thank Dr. Bart Weatherington. Your back hurts, another body part hurts all the time. It makes you mad. The pain drives you crazy. You just want to pick something up and throw it across the room if you can. Well, at the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic, you get complete chiropractic care, pain relief to help you move better, have a less painful life, and, of course, achieve a healthier life. The Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic now is located in two locations, on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in Savannah, Georgia at 329 Eisenhower Drive, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays in Pooler, Georgia at 114 Canal Street, Suite 603. So visit Dr. Bart Weatherington at the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic for all your chiropractic needs. Dennis, thanks for coming on. Best of luck. And now you got to say go Hawks, right?
Yes, sir.
It's going to be tough not saying go K-Dets. So, next up, we'll wrap this up. We'll get three out the door. You're listening to the Coach of Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400, FM 104.3, and now 92.7 over in Hilton Head. We'll be right back after this.
Now here's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Melissa Makos on ESPN Radio.
And thank you for listening to the Coach Makos every Saturday morning here from 9 to 11. We play two games, 9 to 10 and 10 to 11, and we have a lot of fun doing it. And Melissa, we have time to talk sports. We have 11 minutes for you and I to break down sports.
What is that like?
I don't know. We never do it because
we always go over.
We get the guests here. We let them go. We talk over the allotted time. But that's what it's all about. And, you know, I know, I've heard people say, well, Coach, you're on there for you. No, I'm not on here for me. I'm on here for what happens in Savannah, Georgia, specifically what happens with our local young athletes. And that's what makes the show fun. I mean, we had a kid come in here from Mount Zion High School in Jonesboro. He did live here in Savannah, Georgia, went to East Broad Elementary, Hubert Middle School. He's back up in the Atlanta area, but his grandmother listened to the show and connections through Kenyatta Watson and Melissa Makos and Markel Blunt. I mean, how special is that when you get kids coming that don't even live in Savannah, Georgia, that want to come on the show?
But I love it. And it just, you know, speaks volumes about what you've done here the last 7 years with the Carl DeMasi Sports Report and how important local sports is to our community. And, you know, although we are the flagship station for Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Hawks, and
Falcons.
The Falcons and UGA, you know, really, truly, that was one of the reasons why, you know, I moved here was to cover local sports, to cover, you know, the local athletes. And I love it. I love covering, you know, giving these kids recognition. And what's really nice is that, yes, we are based here in Savannah at the ESPN studios in the Savannah Mall, but we have an outreach thanks to the World Wide Web. And you can just go to ESPNCoastal.com and click Listen Live or go to the ESPN app. Yes, the ESPN app that, you know, you would get your U.S. Open scores on and your Major League Baseball scores on and look for our show and find those headphones and you can click and listen to it. So my mom can listen up in New Jersey.
Hey, we got people living up in Atlanta. My brother lives in Virginia. I mean, people in New York. I mean, so it's a lot of fun. And this is where we go three out the door. It's time to go home, so we're going to take three key points as we are going out the door. And, of course, the big one this week is the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And, of course, we had some major names not make the cut.
Yeah.
But is Tiger done?
I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, you know, when was the last time he won a major? And that was the U.S. Open back in, what, 08, 09? I don't even remember. It's been so long. But, you know, when you talk about is Tiger done, is he done from winning championships and making cuts? Because he did not make the cut, but also not making the cut like Jordan Spieth and McIlroy and, you know, some big names. Which is huge. I mean, Shinnecock is a beast right now. You've got the only person that's under par is Dustin Johnson. He's your leader. Everyone else is either even or over par, which speaks volumes about how the course is playing right now.
Shinnecock Hills.
Yeah, but the you know, is Tiger done? I don't know, because he certainly brings a hype and you know, an interest when it comes to golf. And so when he's back in the game, even when he's not making cuts and not playing Tiger-esque, it's still a tremendous impact on the sport of golf. So people are interested when Tiger is involved, whether he is winning or losing or whatever it is. There's always a Tiger story.
And this is where I get to brag, okay? I played Bethpage Black, which was a U.S. Open course, and shot 144 on it. But I also can blow my horn because the year before they had the 1986 U.S. Open, yeah, back in the day, I played there in 1985, okay? And I shot a 180. and I didn't cheat. The rough, the fescue, the links course outline, the wind coming, I lived it. It's, I mean, but to watch this course bring these professional golfers to their knee,
yeah,
except Dustin Johnson, okay? But it's this is what golf should be. It shouldn't be where they shoot 15, 16, 17, 18 under par. They should struggle to beat the course. And that's why you got to love the British Open when they take it over,
yeah,
there across the pond.
I love it.
So I'm really impressed with it. Is Tiger done? I think he's going to get one or two. I think he's going to find his groove. As soon as he puts all the pieces back together, he's probably one of the best, if not one of the greatest. There's no GOAT. He can go there with Jack and Arnold and the rest of the crew. So it really, really is something special. All right, we talked to Steve Proper, Chatham County Parks Director.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Memorial Stadium. But you and I know it because we grew up with a stadium on our own school grounds.
Yeah.
What does it mean to have a high school stadium in your mind?
You know, I think it's huge. I think it offers that home field advantage. I think it offers that camaraderie and that community, you know, atmosphere when you can just walk to your stadium, or, you know, you don't have to, you know, I mean,
get on a bus and go play five or 6 miles away.
And then who's really the home team? Because they're all, you know, it's 1 week, it's, you know, Beach High School is home, and then the next week Beach High School is away, or Islands High School is home. So I think it just, there's something to be said about the opposing team riding up in their bus to your stadium. You've got your fans, you've got your mascot, you've got your school colors, and I think it speaks volumes when it comes to having that home field advantage.
It's part of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And playing on your own field. And you know what? I lived it, okay? And I was lucky.
Yeah.
I coached at St. Andrews for 2 years, had our own field.
Yeah.
I coached at Groves. And Groves has their own field, even though people don't think it is, but Garden City Stadium right behind Groves.
Yeah.
So it was great. It was great. But I feel for teams, and I'm going to throw one out here because you lived it. You taught there. Memorial Day School of Road Warriors.
Right.
They play two or three home games. Everything is out of the city of Savannah.
Yeah.
It's got to be tough on Michael Thompson, and to win all those championships is unbelievable.
Well, and then it also, when you're playing on a field, you know, such as, you know, a communal stadium, you don't get the feel for the land. You don't get a feel for, you know, the little quirks. You know, I remember even like playing softball, like at my high school, you knew where like the little divots were, you knew like where the little rocks and little bumps were. So, you know, there really truly is a thing about home field advantage. And I remember, I love going out to South Effingham, you know, rolling up there and seeing that Mustang and the
corral.
Yes. And,
to the Palace in the Pines at Effingham County High School.
Right. And there's a, you know, I covered Lowndes High School. I covered Valdosta High School and, Thomas County Central. And
we're talking about her Tallahassee days.
Yes. And, you know, rolling out to these stadiums, it's impressive. And, mm-hmm, you know, you really, it goes further. It goes beyond just bringing out random people to, you know, to the stadium. You know, you get people just walking up from your community, from your neighborhood. And I think that's huge, and I miss that. And I think it's, these kids are at a disadvantage when they don't see or have that home field advantage.
Hey, I said it when I coached at Groves High School. I will not let Camden County, the College of Camden County, buy me out so I can go down there and get my head beat in so I can make $3,000. No. Make them come up here and play on my home field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about, because it was definitely an advantage. All right, we got one more to go. We got about, we got about 2.5 minutes to go here. Well, we got to give a big kudos out to ESPN Coastal for sponsoring or being involved in the Loggerhead Beach Spikeball Tournament, the King of the Beach, happening June 24th over there at Tybee Island, right next to Tybee Pier, and Spikeball. Great game.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard.
It's not,
in the sand too.
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, you got to have that coordination. It takes athletic prowess, so to speak. You know, you if you want to register, the last day to register is Thursday, June 21st, and you know, you've got the King Division made up of the top two players from each pool, Queen Division made up of the middle players, and the Jack Division, which is made up of the bottom two players from each pool. And so it's pool play and then, you know, championship play. And if you've never played spike ball, it's hard. Google it. Google spike ball, and it's an easy, not a lot of equipment. Just, you know, that I don't know what you call it, the
netting.
The netting and the ball.
It's like playing handball, but you're playing it off a net, and
yeah,
you're playing it in a beach around this circular circumference. And it, believe it or not, it's a tour now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, spike ball is a tour now, and it's coming to Tybee on June 24th. It's free. I mean, you know, and you're not playing with a team.
Right.
You're going to go to different teams. You're going to meet different people. So, and you know, it's a lot of fun. So get involved in it. Find it on ESPNCoastal.com, and you'll have a good time. Well, Melissa, we got about 50 seconds to go here. Coming up next, oh, first of all, we got to thank our man in the back studio.
Cody Queen.
Doing a great job. He keeps us straight every Saturday morning. Right after this, remember, the Braves will be on at 5:10. We got explosive recruiting with Jim Johnson and Calvin Wilson coming on at 11 o'clock to noon. Then tomorrow, you'll have the Braves at 1:35, and then Sunday Night Baseball, the Cubbies against the Cardinals at 8 p.m. So we got a lot going on. Remember, every Saturday morning from 9 until 11, right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton, you can listen to your source for Savannah Area Sports. It's the Coach and Makos. So enjoy the rest of the weekend. Until next Saturday, may it be the best week ever. And as we say every weekend, Melissa,
always hit it out of the park.
Always hit it out of the park. We'll be back next week. Hopefully we can get a remote.
Yeah.
And it's the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head.
This has been the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400 and FM 104.3.